Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Dan Wiederer, later on, we're going to talk a little bit about Todd Monken. How do you feel about him, and what's interesting about him?
So I have tried to mute my admiration for Todd Monken because I think he would be awesome for us. This dude's a character. He has a bit of a trucker's vocabulary, Lawrence, and if your owner doesn't like swearing on Hard Knocks, they might have a little bit of a difficult time with a guy who's a little bit colorful when he speaks.
Know what the damn coverage is! The sun's in my eyes! F*** it out there!
His vocabulary is very diverse.
We've had two post routes that throw little girl.
What did Wiederer say about him?
Entertaining as hell. Like he's
no, but the thing that'll keep him from getting hired by the Bears is just he doesn't have country club or language or something like that.
Todd Monken has, quote, a trucker's vocabulary.
There it is. Got some Smokies out here.
Man, gotta play convoy as he walks in every week for the press conference.
By the time we hit that Shy Town, them Bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard.
Breaker, breaker, one niner. We got a jackknife to a manure spreader on the highway. Chicka, over.
Roger that.
Dude, you don't have to do the sound. It already does that. Out.
Copy that. I'm not going to make the sound after I say stuff from now on. J.D. McNugent, over and out. That was the last one.
Hey, you guys got eyes on that lot lizard over there. Make sure she stays away from your calves.
Now we're getting somewhere. Bears have never hired a trucker as a head coach.
They can't cover the back of the curl unless we stink. Then we stink and fire my ass. I will to Jones Junior High.
10-4.
We got a mighty cowboy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a mighty cowboy. Ain't you beautiful?
Hey, do we understand the thing here? When I'm talking, shut up.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Oh, hell yeah. It is Spiegel and Holmes. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello.
I am Lawrence Holmes. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. We've been talking about the NFL weekend, which will conclude tonight. We will have the game for you here on The Score at 6:30. Vikings v. Rams at Arizona. So it'll be kind of like a bowl game, I'm guessing. But we'll be here, and we'll have the game for you at 6:30, thanks to our friends over at Westwood One. We spent a lot of time today talking about the Bears and their coaching search. If you're just jumping in, like if you're maybe even kind of really getting back into your regular routine, and you're like, hey, well, I like this show. Thank you. We appreciate that. The Bears are still looking for a head coach. They interviewed Ron Rivera yesterday. They still need to interview another minority candidate in person to fulfill the Rooney Rule. They can't really talk to Ben Johnson until January 20th. They can't talk to him then.
In person.
They have done a Zoom with him like they've done with everyone except for Ron Rivera
Thomas Brown. I do not like that Zoom has become a euphemism for online. Due respect to Zoom, but it could have been Microsoft Teams. You don't know.
WebEx.
Yes. StreamYard.
StreamYard. Unlikely. I like StreamYard quite a bit.
Unlikely. GoToMeeting. Google Meet. We don't know. I don't think Zoom deserves the Kleenex treatment or the Band-Aid treatment. The Xerox treatment in that regard.
A texter said that the Thomas Brown interview, they made him go into another room and put him on the Zoom too. Just so it could be an even playing field.
It just ain't right. We're at 9 completed interviews. 9! And we might, I think publicly we're at what, like 16 candidates?
I think it's closer to 19.
It's
a lot.
It feels a little crazy. I'm not going to say it's full on crazy. It just feels like a lot. They're taking their time. They're casting a wide net.
It feels like they could have gotten a lot of this stuff done earlier.
That some of that is possible, but if they're going to wait the whole time for Ben Johnson anyway, and if somebody jumped up and scooped up Vrabel, which maybe they knew. Remember, like I knew that was going to happen. Saying a Wednesday or Thursday that he was going to sign by the end of the weekend. He signed on Sunday, so like Vrabel was a done deal. You know, I think.
Then why interview him at all?
See what he thinks.
See if he can get football information.
See if he can get some knowledge from him. Yeah, get his football information. See what he thinks of your team. See what he thinks of the league. Get a little hint on that stuff. But you know, I'll dig into that more over the course of the next couple of days. And I think we've got some time to let this play out. I think they're going to wait for Ben Johnson on the 20th, which is a week from today.
I think it's really interesting listening to people talk about what happened at the top of this past year's draft.
The no-brainer talent, the generational talent. Very few people, except maybe you, Lawrence Holmes, even stood up.
It's me and Sean King.
That was it. The only ones who said anything about Jaden Daniels. And Sean King said flat out he thought Jaden was better.
Yes.
He was a very rare voice going full on better.
Don't let anyone else lie to you. It was me and Sean King, and we were getting rocks thrown at us the whole time. And we were just like, Jaden Daniels might be really good. Just, you know, Caleb's good too, but Jaden Daniels might be really, really good.
I didn't throw any rocks.
Yeah, you threw verbal ones.
Did I?
You and Parkins.
Well, Danny did. You can't hold me. Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm not my...
I'd come in here during transition and go, hey, have you guys ever watched Jaden Daniels? Heresy, I say. It's heresy. Tanny remembers.
What?
The North remembers. I come in here every day and be like, you know,
I'm getting blamed for a lot of Parkinsian BS.
You were right there with them.
Now, Speaks, you were in those pre-show meetings where Tanny and I were pitching different audio of respected analysts who liked Jaden more than Caleb, and every single one was shot down because we were just fixated on this fairy tale idea that Caleb Williams might be.
The fact that that Caleb was going to be the great deodorant and was going to fix everything with the Bears organization.
We had plenty of audio back in May, June, before that, March, April.
Well, I blame you guys for not standing up strong enough, myself. I lean on you guys for that. You don't even know what to do with that, do you? I'm not serious. No, I know. Look, I got excited. I know that I got excited. I know that our show at the time was perhaps a problem. Okay? I can look back on that. I can point a little bit of at least a half a thumb.
I don't think you guys were necessarily like you were excited. And it was excited.
The reality is, like, with the number one pick, any team would have taken Caleb. I wish they didn't have the number one pick. I wish they would have, you know.
I wish they would have been two?
I wish Justin would have been better the year before and they would have, like, you know, traded that pick away. You know what I mean? I wish, like, why did they have to have that number one pick?
Can you imagine if they'd had the stones to trade, to swap picks because they liked Jaden better?
We would have killed them for it, and they know it. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. I wish they would have picked, like, third or fourth.
It's also not time. It's not time to compare whether or not Caleb Williams is going to be a better quarterback than Jaden Daniels.
Hold on, Shane.
It's time to do something.
Here's what I will say. I'm not letting you do that. I'm not letting any of you guys do that. Because it was time to tell the world how much better Caleb was than Jaden Daniels when the draft was around, that he was generational, that he was going to totally change things. And looking at the rest of the quarterbacks, people just ignored the rest of those quarterbacks.
But see, that's a situation where it's unavoidable. When you're surrounding the draft and you're having to pick one then, that kind of proclamation is unavoidable.
This is like a bigger thing for me. Why do we have to make the proclamation?
It's the job.
But it doesn't have to be.
It does not have to be. That's why I invented Let It Play Out, America's least favorite radio segment.
That's not what people want to hear. People don't want to hear you guys go up there and say, I'm waiting. That's why we have to make that initial proclamation, and that's why we have to compare them now, but it's not time
yet. It doesn't have to be the job. But you don't have to say
you can even wait. You can just say, well, here's this guy's resume and here's this guy's resume. And what makes this guy's resume so much better than the other guys? Like, real talk. If we just talk about the resumes that those two guys have in college.
And talk about Bo Nix's resume, too, because it was similar to Jaden's.
But in the case of Jaden Daniels, he comes with the same hardware that Caleb comes
in with. In terms of the Heisman?
Yes.
Yeah. And he comes with, and the reason I liken it to Bo Nix, I think both of them played upwards of 50 games in multiple different systems. Caleb had only played in the one Lincoln Riley system.
I have lots of questions about Bo Nix. I am not a Bo Nix guy, and that's kind of been my stance watching him at Auburn and watching him even do really well at Oregon. I will say that my eyes have opened a little bit. He's got way better deep ball touch
than I thought. Troy Franklin.
And I mean, if you watched him play in week 18 or week 17 and week 18, you saw some of that stuff on display. And I was like, okay, maybe there's something here, but I still don't think that he's going to come close to what Caleb can be.
Can I back up a second here?
Sure.
It is not, I don't think it's time to have a definitive conversation about whether Jaden Daniels is better, but it is undeniable to say that Jaden has had a better rookie year than Caleb Williams. He has.
I struggle with that.
Oh, I do not. It's because it's not just the numbers. Caleb's numbers are really, really good. And
They're pretty much identical to Jaden Daniels'
right.
numbers.
But we also watched and talked about, because we have the benefit of watching every game, that Caleb at times was not aggressive enough and trying to put the ball where it needs to go, okay? And there's other things that we can see with Jaden Daniels right now in a rookie season that to me are better. First of all, as a runner, he is a much better, and I don't know if it's going to last. And
people have been worried about this since his freshman year at Arizona State. Right. He was like 175 pounds.
And people worried about it with Lamar Jackson, who could win his third MVP.
Correct.
You know? So, like, I don't know if he's going to stay healthy, but I do know that that guy's ability to run gives him a completely different gravity on the field than it does Caleb Williams. He has a different kind of weapon because of his skills and gravity as a runner. And that is a different thing, which was more effective here in year one than that kind of thing was for Caleb. The other thing is, if you look a lot of the plays, including the big touchdown on fourth down last night and another touchdown earlier in this five-game streak, he's throwing crossers with anticipation.
He is.
A lot more often than Caleb has, frankly. Now, that has to do with the offense and the design and all of that. But Jaden's year is incredible. Offensive Rookie of the Year with good reason. And he won a playoff game. It is a better rookie year. And I still love Caleb and think that I would probably take Caleb long term. At the very least, I'm not going to write off anything. But Jaden's had a better rookie year. And I don't think that's sacrilegious to say.
I just think that I am controlling for, if I had the two guys switch places, do you think that their numbers would be similar? And I don't, as much as I love Jaden, I don't know if that would have been the case.
If Caleb was there with Kingsbury and Quinn?
And the choices that are made and the idea of, why don't we build, instead of trying to build something that's outrageous, why don't we build off of what you already know and you already love? And that's what they did with Jaden Daniels down there in D.C. They started him out like, let's do what you like doing. Great. Now let's build off of it. And we're going to put the ball in your hands on fourth down. We're going to put the ball in your hands on goal to go. Oh, and also your offensive coordinator isn't an idiot. And also that he isn't fired halfway through. I know that I am a Justin guy and a Jaden guy to a lot of people. I have a lot of sympathy for what Caleb went through.
That's fair.
And I think it's remarkable what his numbers end up being because of the situation that he was in. He had an idiot head coach and an idiot offensive coordinator.
Yeah, they completely
and a terrible
botched his
offensive line.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying you can't compare it yet. That's why I'm saying it's not time yet. Can I offer you a little bit of perspective?
Maybe
a nice comparison. Let's say you guys are about to be born, right? You both have the same due date.
I'm very excited about that.
Both of your parents are great athletes. We have high anticipation for both of you. You're both going to come out being great kids, really good people. But Speegs,
yes.
During the pregnancy, your mom becomes addicted to pills and your dad walks out. So you're being raised with a junky mother and an absent father. And Lawrence, your parents were right there. And they reared you perfectly.
It's true.
And they showed you exactly how to become a man and exactly how to become a radio host and a scholar and whatever. Lawrence, you are Jaden Daniels. Speegs, you are Caleb Williams. Your mother's a junkie. Your dad's absent. You were not brought up the right way. Right.
Let's make sure that what we're saying here in this particular example, the mother is the Bears.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I know nothing about Speegs' mom actually being a junkie.
Well, I was more worried about Caleb and his mom and dad.
No.
I want to make sure when that gets clipped off that there is at least a portion of us explaining what you're talking about is
your
the Bears.
Your parents are the Bears and the Commanders, respectively.
Yeah, well, what we have is the GOAT of radio analysis. Apologies, stepping into the fray and just delivering. Like, really, that was strong. I think as far as radio station allergies, I'm a fan, and I give that highest marks.
Thank you.
So last night, I'm driving around, and I'm listening to the Westwood One call on this, and I was listening to the pregame. And so it was our buddy Jason Benetti, and Mike Mayock was the color guy, and Laura Oakman was on sidelines. This is what Mayock said about Jaden Daniels, and I got to admit, even as a Jaden guy, it took me aback.
Washington fans are hoping it's like 19 years ago in this very place when Mark Brunell led Washington to a 17-10 win on the back of seven completions. It was the last Washington playoff win that day, January 7th, 2006. Been a long time, but I don't know that they've been as fired up about a team in our nation's capital than they are right now for this sixth seed with Jaden Daniels leading the charge.
And they should be. And you're talking about a team that's had ineptitude of leadership from the top down. And all of a sudden, new GM, Adam Peters, new head coach, Dan Quinn, the number two overall pick, Jaden Daniels, is the main reason they've gone from four wins to 12 wins. They've done a great job in free agency. The rest of the draft was outstanding. But make no mistake about it, he's the biggest difference maker in the draft since Lamar Jackson.
Biggest difference maker in the draft since Lamar Jackson. His rookie year, his ability to run, and his deep ball touch, man. His deep ball touch in the face of getting clobbered. I remember you hopping in the group thread when he made that throw to McLaurin on a Monday night to win a walk-off. Remember that?
Yes.
How about the throw to McLaurin last night, early on? The deep ball down the left side.
When he was given opportunity, like they were running mostly horizontal passing game. And when he got his opportunity, this is where there is a legitimate difference in their rookie season.
That's what I'm saying. Caleb has not shown the deep ball accuracy, and I worry about it a little bit. There's been a lot of issues and a lot of problems, but when you also throw his aversion to interceptions, which Kurt Warner talked about, and of course that's a good thing, but you got to be able and willing to put the ball close. I haven't seen it yet the way that I need to see it, and Jaden's shown it all year long.
I also think, and this is the unfortunate part, that there's a trust issue here. And with Caleb, the worry is, does what happened to him damage him? Because the trust issue is, I don't trust that I'm going to have enough time to make this throw. I don't trust that that guy's going to either sit or keep running with the route that I'm going to throw, because how many times that happened early in the season with DJ Moore, mm-hmm. they seemingly got on the same page. It kept happening with Rome. Through week 18, it kept happening where Caleb be like, I thought you were going to go there.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm going to go right here. And both of them are right. And both of them are wrong.
They're running an offense of a guy who got fired 2 months ago, and even the head coach is like, it's not my offense. So right. That, to be fair to Caleb, you know?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and the problem is that sometimes this stuff gets messy because is he a guy that tries to make a hero ball play sometimes too much, like he himself admitted a couple of weeks ago? Or is he damaged by the fact that the O-line sucks and is...
That's like, my worry.
And you don't know. You don't know what's what in that soup.
Let's continue this conversation because there's actually more opinion on it. There's more opinion from people in the league about it, on how they feel about the two guys. We'll keep talking about it. Any regrets? We're discussing it. Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.